been good, and I invite your attention as God has a message for us on this morning. As we continue our Advent season and celebrating and preparing our hearts for what God is going to do, as we remember what God has done, I invite your attention as we explore God's amazing grace. That first book in the New Testament, that book, Matthew, beginning at the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew, I should say, at the 18th verse is where our message for the morning is coming from. That's the first book in the New Testament. If you have your Bibles, if you would just make your way there or turn on your Bibles and, you know, punch it in and get there, you'll see words similar to these. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Father, as we engage your word, we would ask so humbly that you would allow your spirit to begin to prepare our hearts to become receptive soil for the seed of your word, that we might see with fresh eyes just how wonderful your faithfulness is, and celebrate the goodness of your grace in this day and the days to come, that we might know just how blessed we are because of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you noticed the change? Have you noticed some things have changed in the atmosphere and people just seem a little different? No, okay. Have you noticed something happens to people right after Thanksgiving? They start acting kind of strange. You may not know this, but for the month, I've been undergoing physical therapy as a result of an accident I had earlier this month. By God's grace, I'm still here to testify of how good he's been and how good he is. I'm learning some things about myself through this physical therapy experience. For those of you who are in that profession, forgive me, because every now and then I call my physical therapist my physical terrorist. But going through this experience, they're contorting my body in unnatural ways, and it's causing excruciating pain, but they said no pain, no gain. And I won't tell you the rest of what I was thinking about telling them, but but something happened. I was with the physical therapist, and he was pushing me to perform these exercises to build up my muscles in my leg, and I started hearing a song. The song said, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere. So some of you know that song. But I'm in physical therapy. And I'm in pain. And so I was not gentle. No, I was not. I looked up at him and I said, that's not motivational song. That's not a motivational song for me to work out to. I need a better song than that. He said to me, he said, Pastor, you know it's bad when they do that right there, Kurt. Yeah. He said, Pastor, no matter how you feel, it's still the Christmas season. That made me think about some things as I was enduring this process of healing. And that people get cheery and they get excited and they something happens to people in this season. But Wayne, not all people. Some people are excited when the nativity comes up. You see it in the nativity scenes. You're reminded that Mary, when the angel came to her, she said, "Let it be as you would have unto me." She was excited that God would choose her to bring the Savior into the world. She was excited. The shepherds, they were excited. They were in the field and they heard the angelic chorus. They were singing the praises and they went rejoicing. They were excited. Later on, the Magi will learn of their excitement when they see the star and they behold that the king is here and they come to celebrate him at his home, not at the manger, but at his home. They were excited about Christmas. I wonder if even the animals in the stable were excited about Christmas. But also there was one person that didn't start the season off excited. That was one person that with all everybody else was excited. That was one person. Everybody except but one person. I submit to you that person was Joseph. Because Joseph, in the text we just read, did not get a forewarning about what was going to happen. Let me unpack this for you just for a moment, for those of you who know the Christmas story. Joseph, now in the scene that God gives us in his word that shows us the circumstances around the birth of Christ, Joseph had a problem with this pregnancy. You see, when you read the Bible, you need to strive to read it with fresh eyes. In homiletical practices, we call it character identification, where you look at the individuals in Scripture and you try to identify with them. I love the way Fostick says it. He says, Bible characters are not models for morality. They're mirrors for our humanity. And Joseph was not cheerful in this Christmas season. Let me help you. You read it, but maybe you need to understand it just a little bit better. Because the context is such that Joseph is legally married. He's betrothed to this his teenage love. They're set to really make it official and be a solidified married couple. They are engaged. It's been arranged. They are supposed to be married. And then if you read Luke's account, then you know then that the angel of the Lord spoke to Mary. Joseph wasn't there. He spoke to Mary and told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would bear the Son of God. If you read that, then you understand that the angel then used for evidence for Mary. He said, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, if you think God can't do this, in her old age, she is with child. And so in the middle of the night, this engaged, married virgin hopscotch over to her cousin's house. She hangs out at her cousin's house for 3 months. And then she makes her way back to her husband. And the Bible says she doesn't come with an announcement. She comes with something she didn't leave with. You're not with me just here. Let me see if I can work this out for you, because I got to learn how to keep this thing G-rated. She comes back pregnant, and Joseph knows he wasn't a part of it. You're not with me. You're not with me just yet. She comes back, the Bible says, and she was found to be with child. Grandma says she's showing. I'm trying to help you understand this thing. That's exactly how he felt right there. Like B.B. King, he said, the thrill is gone. There he was. Can you see Joseph now? Can you relate to Joseph now? He wasn't there at the announcement, but now he sees that she's with child. Like Dean Martin, he's now singing the Christmas blues. Those of y'all who don't know Dean Martin, maybe you remember Marvin Gaye, because he had that same question, what's going on? You bet you wonder how I knew. Don't you know I heard it? I have too much fun with y'all. But can you see it, though? Can you see it now? There he is, this man who now is obviously disappointed because the dream he had with his dream girl is now a disappointment because he knows that she left looking a different way. And now he's sitting down, and the Bible says he's contemplating some decisions. He's disappointed. The dream that he had for his life was now tainted. And now he's in that place. I know it's the Christmas season, and I know that there are some who are cheerful, but if we're honest about it, sometimes even in the season, some things happen in the season that you're just not prepared for. So Joseph now is pondering. The Bible says he is considering these things. He's considering to put her away. He's considering to save shame for her and not allow the consequences of what her perceived situation would call for. He was going to put her away quietly. Because the Bible says he's a just man. He is a righteous man. He's a man who knows God. And so instead of exacting a revenge because of his disappointment, instead of telling her about herself, the Bible says he went into consideration about what he was going to do. He's at a place where he's in need of God's grace, God's guidance, some of God's get me through. Anybody ever needed God's get me through? That's when you're in a situation that's beyond you, and you look and you say, God, the only way I'm going to get through what I'm going through is if you get me. Y'all look like y'all been having it made. Anybody here ever been in a place in your life where it was dark, you didn't predict it, your dream seemed to be lost, and you looked up and it was a moment where you needed God to get you through? This is where Joseph is in our text. And I wonder, why would God allow Joseph to have to go through this? Why would God allow Joseph to have such a challenging experience when God could have done it another way? I mean, God is God. There's nothing too hard for God. If God wanted to, he could have just presented himself in flesh and said, here I am, you've been praying for me, I'm showed up. But why did God want Joseph to take this journey? Don't look at me like it's sacrilegious, because sometimes you ask the same question in your life, don't you? Why does God have me going through this season? God, it could happen another way. And yet I'm going through what I'm going through. I mean, let's be honest about it. God has grace for single mothers. God could have just taken Mary and pulled her on the side and said, I'm going to give you all you need. And he would have taken care of his son, Jesus Christ, born, the Word born in flesh. But God chose not to do it that way. You ever wondered why? I mean, God didn't need Joseph for Mary to get pregnant. So why would God let Joseph go through this? I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that even though Joseph is undoubtedly feeling disappointed, disrespected, disgusted, and trying to deal with this dilemma, that God wanted Joseph to get in on what God was doing. I hope you get this. because God had an assignment for him. And anytime you find yourself on a journey that you didn't plan for, and you are a child of the King, you can rest assured that if God brought you to it, then God has a purpose for you to go through it, and there's something God wants you to know about him and about what you're going through. He wanted Joseph to get in on what he was doing, because God desired that Joseph be a part of the story of grace. Amazing grace. Because the truth is, brothers and sisters, we are never in a place beyond God's grace. God's grace, when you trust in him, God's grace can guide us from perceived tragedy to a powerful testimony. Because things will happen in life that will blow your mind and you'll wonder, why? Why? How is God good to me in this season when this season don't feel good to me? This is where Joseph is. Joseph is pondering the question. He's in need of God's grace. And I want you to get this. Because text bears out in Joseph's testimony, teach us how to handle it when we're going through things in life that we prefer not to. And that is, we ought not rush too quickly to make decisions. In fact, I'll say it this way. Don't make a final decision until you finally hear from God. Did you catch that? I want you to tweet it right now. When you're going to make a decision, don't make a final decision until you finally hear from God. Right there in the text, we know that because the Bible says he is a just man. He is pondering what he's considering, what he's going to do. And as a consideration, he's pondering, he's in prayer. He teaches us, don't give up so quickly, but watch God make a way out of no way. As a man with a God connection, between his contemplation and his implementation, God showed up. Did you catch what kind of connection he had? I know some of you. Some of you are really well connected. You know people, don't you? Go ahead and move your eyebrows for me. Let me know who I'm talking to. Yeah, you know people. You know if you were in a jam, you knew who to call. Some of you right now, if you get pulled over by JV Finest, you know exactly who you would. I mean, no, y'all wouldn't do that. Y'all good Christian folk. Y'all don't break the law. But you know, when you're in a situation, you know who to call. But if you really want to experience God's grace, you got to know how to call on God. Because there are some places life will take you that you won't be able to get through without calling on God. There'll be some situations where you need God's grace to guide you. And that's where Joseph is. For Joseph now is seeking God. And you know what happened. You read it in the text. It says, while he's dreaming, the angel of the Lord shows up. I like this here. A messenger of God shows up in his dream. Come here, let me help you understand something for a moment. That whenever, wherever you are, if you seek God, I wish I had some believers in here to tell the truth, God will show up. No, I'm talking to some real people in here. You ever been there before where you were pleading before God? You didn't know how you were going to make it, but you were seeking God. And just before you could ever wrap your mind around what was happening, God showed up. It didn't happen to you that way before. You're driving on the highway and somebody cuts you off. You don't know what's going to happen, but all of a sudden, God, you call that name, Jesus, and God just so you remember when you're about to fail that test. You remember that you're about to fail that class. And there you were looking at everybody else, how she made an A and how he made an A and how they passed. And you're looking at that on you. You're looking at God, before I flip this over, I see some red writing. God, I need you to show up. And you turn it over and it was a bad grade. But then the teacher said, but I'm grading on a curve. You said, oh, look, God, don't act like you don't know me. That God showed up. And there he is, and God shows up. And when God shows up by his messenger, look at what he tells Joseph. First thing he says is, fear not. Come here, let me help you understand something. If you want to really experience God's grace, you got to learn how to leave fear to live in faith. I get it. Things happen in life that are beyond our control, and things happen in life that we don't always predict. But guess what? There's a God who knows all and sees all. And I love this about God. Nothing catches God by surprise. Which means then that if God, I feel an old preacher coming on now, that if God brought you through it, God can bring you through it, that God will show up. Grandma say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always, somebody, y'all know my grandma, he's always on time. And in this life, things will happen, but we got to learn how to leave fear and live by faith. When the disciples were in the middle of a storm in the sea, when Jesus walked out on the water, first thing he said was, fear not, it is I. We got to learn how to leave fear and cling on to faith. That even when you don't feel like you're faithful, you got to inform your feelings by your faith until your feelings start to back up your faith. Because God said that if he's for you, no one can be against you. He has a plan for your life. And the plan is to prosper you and to give you a good future. When God is for you, nobody can be against you. He tells Joseph, fear not. Don't be scared of the season, because what's happening is a God thing. He says, what's happening in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, because this is a spiritual thing. I know your mind took you carnal, but this is a spiritual thing. I know you thought that she hooked up with somebody else, but this is a God thing. I know you were wondering and you thought your first child was going to look like you, but God said, no, this is a God thing. Come here, let me help you for a moment here. Because some of you, God, you're in a Joseph assignment where God said, listen, I assign you to care for someone else that you yourself did not contribute to making. Come on, come and talk to you for a moment here. You may be the Joseph in the text. And what I love about it is while Joseph had a solution, God had an assignment. And he told Joseph, I have an assignment for you. But in order for you to accept the assignment, you got to learn how to leave fear. Sometimes fear is a Christian's worst enemy. Fear of what other folk going to say. People who don't know nothing about you, haven't given anything to you, but you fearing what they're going to think about you. Fear about what the society is going to say. Can you see Joseph? They're going to say that I got with her prematurely. They're going to say, and he's supposed to be a Christian. Wondering about what others are going to say or do or believe. Hear me, brothers and sisters. God wants us so confident in him that we don't worry about the criticism of other people out there, that we do what God called us to do because God called us to do it. I tell my kids, stop worrying about Lottie Dottie and everybody. You got to know who you are. Because when you know who you are, then you know who has you. And it doesn't matter what other people say about you. It's what God says about you that really matters. And last I checked, God says that you are his child. Come here, let's get back to the text here. Joseph is in God's guidance. And because he's being guided by God, God tells him what's happening. Angel Lord appears to Joseph. And he says, do not fear. Later on in verse 21, he says that Mary will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophets. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I really want you to get this, brothers. I really want you to get this. As you are, you're looking at Joseph. Notice the text now in its context, where the angel Lord says they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. put that on the backdrop when the angel tells him, fear not to take Mary to be your wife, because what's in her is God. I hope you catch this. I really hope you catch this. He says, God is with us. And so the text then goes on to say that Joseph immediately took Mary to be his wife. Come here, let me get you for a moment here, because what he took home was God. Ah, you didn't catch it. You didn't catch it. Some of you think, no. Mary is not God. But God was in Mary. And when Joseph took Mary home, God was with him. You're not getting it just yet here. I really want you to get this. Because so in this season, hear me well, God wants to go with you home. God wants you to be with him and him to be with you. Because this is the only way you'll experience a greater measure of his grace, is that you have God with us. What am I trying to get you? That in this Christmas season, brothers and sisters, the reality is that we have to learn how to trust what God is doing. Trust God's guidance. The only way you get God's guidance is through God's word. Did you catch that? The only way you get God's guidance, where? Through his word. So you got to study the word to show yourself approved. You got to get in the word of God. Stop relying on other people to tell you what God's word is, and start studying God's word for yourself, so that when you hear something that don't line up with God's word, you can say, that ain't the God I know. God told me that I don't have to fear. I don't have to succumb to what other people say, because God is my Savior and he's given me grace. I hope you catch this. He's given me grace. That's his favor. Amazing grace. Grace is God's favor. That God's favor is all around your life, that no matter what you're going through, God is with you. Come here, back at the Woodlands Rehab and Spine and Rehabilitation. There it is. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Your pastor. No, he wasn't pastor in that. No. Me. I was just a man. In the pool. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And they were abusing me. And it was hurting. And I was looking for a measure of grace. I was trying to figure out, how am I going to preach about grace when what I'm feeling don't match up with the grace I'm preaching? And there I was. Almost said some words I thought I forgot to that therapist. And after a while, he said, does it hurt right there? I said, yeah. He said, then I gotta put some pressure right there. I said, no. And he twisted. And it hurt. Come here, let me get you for a moment. But when he pushed it just a little bit further, he pushed me past the pain. And all of a sudden, what used to hurt didn't hurt no more. When he pushed it just a little bit further, he pushed me past the agony. And all of a sudden, I said, yeah, right there. Keep doing what you do. God bless you. Boy, you doing this. What? Keep your hands exactly where you got them. That feels good to come here. I'm trying to help you understand something here. That when God's grace is on your life, it may be a season of suffering, but weeping endures but a night. Because when you hang on to God and God's grace is hanging on to you, you'll know that joy comes in the morning. I'm done now. Here it is. I'm just trying to help you understand something. That when you got God's grace, God's fingerprints are all over the place. That when people see your life and they wonder, how is it you can make it? How is it that you went through that? You could tell them it's nothing but the grace of God. But I don't see grace. I thought you were going through. Yeah, but the grace is who's going through it with me. That if God be for me, God is with me. And when God is with you, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fret. You don't have to succumb to the suffering. Because what Joseph teaches us is that when God is with you, his grace will guide you. And when God's grace guides you, you can experience a greater measure of God's grace. Hold on now. When you are immediately obedient to God's agenda. I hope you catch that. Because the Bible says that when Joseph woke up, he immediately took Mary to be his wife. He immediately aligned his life up with God's purpose and God's plan. And y'all, we sing Amazing Grace. We've experienced grace. But if you really want to experience the full measure of God's grace, you must choose to do what Joseph does in this text. And what he does is exactly what God has told him to do. Christmas, this season, celebrating a Savior, the Savior, Christ our King, who willingly came down to give himself as a sacrifice that we might be forgiven, that we might have God with us. And to really experience it, you got to get in line with what God has for us. I know we sing the hymns and we celebrate the season. But you're not really celebrating if you're not trusting. And trust happens when you do what God says and do it his way. I invite you to stand all over the building. What the Holy Spirit is sharing with us is that, we need to trust God more. Trust him more with the seasons of our lives. We need to trust God more. Don't give up too quickly. Wait to hear on God. There are times in our lives where we get just at that darkest point and we're ready to give up. I know, I've been there. Some of you are there right now. Because things aren't working out the way you thought it would for your life. But God has a plan for you. God has an assignment for you. God wants you to know he doesn't want you to give up too quickly. You don't make a final decision till you finally hear from God.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.